Welcome to the Sunday AM podcast. We are a church located at the Carrick Centre in Ballincollig. Join us for prayer, praise, teaching and fellowship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
Welcome everyone. Can you hear me okay at the back? Is that all right? That's coming through. Fantastic. So just for those who don't know, my name is Matt Gould. I'm the community leader here at the Carrick Centre, and I'm also the lead evangelist with the partner organisation here, Church Army, and it's just a real pleasure to welcome you. Whether you've been coming for years and years and years, or whether you're just visiting, it's a real pleasure and a delight to see you. Before we kick off, I just want to add my congratulations to Sarah Louise, my friend, ministry colleague, and David, for their engagement today. Really exciting. Fantastic. I think that is the appropriate amount of whooping. It's good. It's good. It's wonderful. We get to celebrate today. It's not every day one of our church family get engaged, so it's a real pleasure. And congrats to you guys. Enjoy. Good. So let's, without further ado, then let's dive into Psalm 1. If you have Bibles with you, do grab them. If you want to get the text on your phone, Psalm 1 is where we're going. Bill's on the slides. Bill, if you want to follow along with the reading slides, that's absolutely fine. Do that as we go. So, through this psalm, we are asked a really big question, and that is, what are you soaking up? What are you soaking up? There is a contrast here in this psalm between the walking, the standing, and the sitting with mockers and sinners, verse 1, with a delight in God's law in verse 2. So just like in Eden, we've been working our way through Genesis 1 to 3 in our services here. And don't worry, guys, I know we're 3 weeks out from our series. We haven't forgotten. We've got two more weeks coming up in Genesis chapter 3 starting next week. But just like in Eden, mankind is given a choice. We're not forced into walking God's way. We can choose who or what we're keeping in step with. So verse 1, walking in step, it's like following along. Maybe some Instagram celebrity or some TikTok, you know, legend. We follow along. And that's fine. There's creativity and whatever there. But we can also find ourselves soaking up worldviews and ideas that just are cynical towards the things of God. Standing with the mockers and the sinners. Can I tell you a story about two guys standing by watching on? Do you remember when we had the floods here in Cork, when the dam had to release a ton of water and it coincided with like the spring tide and half of Cork City was flooded and there was a big hoo-ha as to who was responsible and so on? Does anyone know what year that was? I feel like it's 2010, 11, some... 2009. Okay, it's 2009. Good long while ago. Okay, let me tell you a story about that. So the flood happened, and I thought I'd go for a bike ride to just kind of explore and see what happened. And down by the road where the Angler's Rest is, there was an absolute torrent of water where all the water had kind of leapt out of the river and flooded the surrounding fields, and they were just piling across the road. You couldn't pass it. So I cycled down there, and there were these two old boys kind of leaning against the wall, just kind of watching. And I said, hi, guys, we've got chatting, whatever. And they said to me, are you going to try and... I was on my bike. They said, are you going to try and cycle through? And I was like, are you mad? I'd get swept off my bike. I'd be in real trouble. And they went, oh, okay. And then we carried on chatting for a couple more minutes. And then they said, I said to them, do you think anyone will come through? And they said, well, about half an hour before you came past, a guy tried to cycle through, got swept off his bike, had to cling onto a tree, and was holding on for dear life. And I'm thinking, lads, you kind of encouraged me to go through a few minutes ago. What are you doing? So, you know, standing with the two old boys watching by, thinking it would be a bit of entertainment. And then there's sitting in the company of mockers. So it's, sitting is like dwelling, remaining, abiding. You know when you sit with someone You kind of settle. It's a shared time. It's a kind of a settled conviction. So that's verse one, the mocking, the cynical, the kind of pouring scorn. And then there's verse two, a delight in the law of the Lord. Now, this doesn't simply mean a deep dive into the obscure bits of Deuteronomy or Leviticus. We can rightly understand God's law in the way that Psalm 119 puts it. God's law is God's decrees, commands, statutes. In other words, his word. And that means immersing ourselves in God's story, meditating on it, verse 2 puts it. Christian meditation is absolutely a thing. It's been a spiritual practice for a lot longer, at least in the West, than kind of sort of Eastern influence, trendy meditation. We can meditate, mull over thinking and feeling the meaning in these words. What might that look like? Well, have you ever really got into a TV or movie series? So you're watching the programs, but that's not enough. You dive into the world. You want to find out about the characters and the backstories. So for me, the Marvel Cinematic Universe was like a thing. It's candy floss superhero movies. But because it lives in this kind of comic world, there's tons of information about the characters. And while these movies were coming out, I was like watching the kind of the fan videos on YouTube, geeking out about the little Easter eggs and the little details, diving into all the stuff. Well, this psalm says to do that with God's word and his big, big story that we get to be part of, delighting in it. So, by the way, what this psalm is suggesting that we do individually is also what we strive to do when we gather. We're trying to unpack, explain, and apply the scriptures that are good in pointing us to God and training us in the way to go. This kind of method of preaching is called expository preaching, where the main point of the talk is really the main point of the passage, and it really flows directly from that. And I, for one, think it is much more powerful and solid than the occasional topic-based ramble that you might hear from time to time. So, what is the effect then of immersing ourselves in God's law, delighting in his word and story? Well, verse 3 gives us the picture, doesn't it? It's of a tree planted by streams of water, like Robert had earlier on. It's lush, not withered, but abundant, fruitful. And that picture of the fruitful tree is framed by the first word in our psalm, blessed. Blessed. Happy, content, blessed. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? The tree doesn't have to rush, strive, or struggle. It is planted, graceful, rooted. Its fruitfulness comes from resting by the stream. And the psalmist says we can be like the tree when we rest in God's word, delighting in it. Now, if I had a fairly big production budget, I would go out and buy two big trees, one of which I would have in kind of water with like plant food and stuff, and it would look all green and lush, and the other would sort of be a bit abandoned and the leaves would be withered or falling off. Can you picture it? Okay, so that's the idea. Imagine if you visited a garden center and there's kind of one of those trees tucked by the corner, and it's a bit sad and forgotten. I don't have the production budget for two trees, but I do have these roses. So here is a few flowers, and they're a few days old in the water, but they are soaking up the water, and that's them. Here is one of the roses. I've not done anything to it other than put it in some water with some blue food coloring. I was texting Mel, our resident flower expert, saying, is this going to work? I hope so. Anyway, she said, yeah, probably will. Can you see from the contrast there that the rose in the blue water has picked up the color of the water? It's soaked it up. I was very tempted to kind of dip it in the food coloring just to really make the... But all I've done to this is put it in the water. And it's soaking up the food coloring, and there's a blue tint on it. That's the effect of us soaking up, resting in God's word. Well, there's a contrast then in our psalm with the fruitful tree planted in good streams, or the person who's like a fruitful tree. The wicked in verse 4 are going to be like chaff blown away. Now, I'm not a farmer. Those of you know me, like, I'm a city boy born and bred. So I had to do a bit of digging on this and find out what's going on. Back in the day, if you wanted to sort out the good grain from all the stalks and the leafy bits that you didn't want going into your bread, what you would do is you would throw it all up in the air. And the grain would settle back on the ground. You would collect that, make your bread from it. But the chaff would get blown by the wind out of the way. And it was a way of sifting and sorting. And verse 5, the wicked will not be able to stand in judgment. So we see here a separating, like the sheep and the goats that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5. And verse 5 introduces us to the idea of God's judgment. Now, this is a big topic. I won't be able to do it justice just in a couple of minutes. But if we want to know more about God's judgment, then I suggest we look to the cross, where judgment fell. God is not capricious, angry, or vindictive, trying to catch us out and say, gotcha. No, he folds his righteous judgment back onto himself in the Trinity. He took upon himself the weight of sin and judgment in that moment of Jesus Christ's supreme sacrifice. His holiness and his righteous anger are not compromised, but they are fully satisfied at the cross. So if you want to know more about his judgment, look at the cross. Here's the thing. If you want to know more about his love, robust, solid, dependable, then also look to the cross, where Jesus voluntarily went as a sacrifice for me and for you and for them. Well, how can any of us be counted righteous? How on earth, we were singing earlier, boldly we approach the throne. How can we do that? We know the weight of sin in our lives. We confessed it earlier in our liturgy. We know God's holiness is big and powerful. We're not going to mess with that. So how can we stand? How can we be counted righteous? Well, any answer that starts with, well, I, is in a bit of trouble. Well, I've been a member of the church for decades. Well, I'm a fully paid up Anglican. Well, I even go to vestry meetings and work through fabrics and finance and furnishing meetings. They're fantastic, by the way. How can I, as a fallen, flawed human being, or if I may be highly presumptuous for a moment, how can you, as a fallen, flawed human being, possibly hope to be called righteous? We know that nothing we do fully accounts for that tainting, that twisting, that distorting of God's image that we all carry. There's not some magic quotient of vouchers from Cornflakes Box we can accrue to be called righteous. I suggest, folks, that the only answer that leads us to righteousness, in the words of Alistair Begg, says, because he. Because he was the righteous Son of God. Because he went to the cross and paid the debt of sin. Because he defeated death and in his new life leads to our new creation. Because he is our great high priest representing us before the throne of God. Because he sends his spirit to be with us to all who believe. We are in him. Because he, not because I. So yes, we need to believe, we need to trust, we need to rely on and be dependent on the work of Jesus. Absolutely. That is the move of faith. But it's our trust in his work, the effects of which we gratefully receive with delight and humility marked by knowing our need of grace. John 1, verse 12 puts it like this: "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So folks, this morning, if you're here and you're not yet a believer, can I encourage you to invite Christ into your life, to rest in his work, to say, not because I, but because he, and to root yourselves in that great story. Today is a great day for that move of faith. Maybe you've done that move of faith. Maybe you've been baptized and you've been a believer and a Christian, but you know that you're perhaps not rooted in this story. And so today, come back and let yourself settle and those roots sink into his word. Verse 6, the Lord watches over this. He knows. There are two ways, and there is no other, the righteous and the wicked. So, okay, what do we do with this morning? Three quick points as I'm coming into land. First of all, let God's law, his word, lead you to the cross, where love and justice meet in the only way they can, with integrity to both and a deep, holistic beauty that is just right and deeply satisfying. At bedrock in the world, the Bible claims, is not an empty, meaningless drifting, but a life with purpose, deep meaning, and a fully rounded view of God's presence and his love. Now, that move of faith may well invite a bit of mocking from those standing idly by. Well, okay, but look at what you gain. The confidence in resting in Christ and his work, the deeper appreciation of his love and presence through his word and spirit at work. It's worth it. So that's the first point. Come to the cross. Secondly, be planted where it's good. That question that I started with at the beginning, what are you soaking up? So it's easy to soak up tons of wider cultural norms and values without even really being aware. And some of those can be good, great, and creative, and fantastic, but some can be inherently cynical and empty, offering really nothing of substance, but only mocking. So, what are you going to soak up this summer? There are 62 days in July and August. How about a psalm or two a day? You'll see the range of human emotion given by the psalmists. There's delight and joy and celebration and praise, and there's hurt and there's pain and there's grief and there's questions and there's doubt, and the psalmists bring that before the Lord. And they find their answers in God's presence and his character. Folks, soaking yourself in the Psalms this summer, well, that is not a bad thing to do in the next 62 days. Maybe, just maybe, you'll capture more of the depths of his character, of the good Father, for yourself. And then lastly, can I encourage you to rest? Summertime is a good time to rest. Rest in the knowledge that as you orientate yourselves to God's voice in Scripture, you'll know and experience that reality of verse 6 at the end of the psalm, that God is with you, that he sees you, that he's watching over you, that he knows you. Here's the source of delight, right? That whatever's going on in the midst of your life, we can know him and be known by him in turn. We're not anonymous, invisible, or inconsequential to God. He made us with deep value, worth, and dignity as image bearers of him. There's meaning and purpose in our lives. Part of a bigger story, as we plant ourselves in that story that we can truly rest in. There's such nourishing beauty through his presence. It's like a well-planted tree next to a stream. It cannot help but be fruitful and lush and abundant. What a great picture for us to lean into this morning and this summer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word and your spirit who point to your character. We thank you that you're present with us, that you help us to understand and take hold of these amazing truths in your word. We pray, Lord, for the guidance and help of your spirit to do what we're called to do in this psalm, to delight in your word, in your law, in your decrees. Help us to chew on verses and to meditate on them and to let them seep and settle into the depths of our being. Because, Lord, we yearn to be like that tree planted by streams, fruitful and abundant and lush. We thank you for the promise that your word and spirit are at work in our lives. So help us to take hold of these truths in these days and weeks to come over the summer. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to know more about the Sunday AM service, visit our website at www.cupcork.ie or follow us on Instagram at Sunday AM Cup Cork. Our church services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. in the Carrig Centre in Ballincollig.